Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to American Family Radio. Tim with Wesley and Ray. Ray's in Florida. We're in Mississippi. And Steve Jordahl is in studio with us, too. Here, Steve Paisley Jordahl. Good morning, Brother Steve.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Having a good day so far?
It's a good day here in Mississippi. A lot of stuff going on in the news, so it's kind of like drinking from a fire hose, as they say.
But, you know, I'm impressed, Steve, because you grew up in California. You lived in Madagascar?
Spent 5 or 6 years on the mission field with my folks.
And then with Focus on the Family in Colorado for how many years?
I was working for them for 10 years, lived 15 years in Colorado.
And you've been in Mississippi for how long?
10 years.
10 years. And you have learned the way many Mississippians do just to just slur the word and make it shorter by calling it Mississippi.
Mississippi.
Yeah, I heard you say that.
Yeah.
And so many people do use that abbreviation. They just skip some of the SSI, the second one.
And the other thing I say is New Orleans or Louisiana.
Louisiana.
For some reason, Louisiana doesn't come out right.
Gotcha. But
he has mentioned, though, one of his favorite things about Mississippi is the summertime mosquitoes.
Oh, yeah.
You love those, do you, Steve?
I miss them growing up in Colorado at all. So.
Fellowshipping with the mosquitoes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. My favorite pets. I named them.
For whatever reason, that's the first thing that came to mind following your history of where you've lived and then making your way to Mississippi. That's got to be one of the few things.
They don't have mosquitoes in Colorado?
Probably not.
Not at altitude, not where I was. Sure they exist.
I didn't know mosquitoes were affected by altitude.
Well, there was not a mosquito problem in Colorado Springs. I did not notice one, and I did not hear of anybody.
Okay.
Having problems with mosquitoes.
So do you trade mosquitoes for grizzly bears?
And mountain lions.
And mountain lions.
Yeah.
You have to watch out for mountain lions?
Yeah. Not in the city, but a lot
drive
of houses.
Drive up into the mountains?
If you get up close to the mountains, a lot of mountain lions up there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same. Mountain lions known as cougars other places.
Yeah.
Same animal.
Ray, you ever confronted a wild animal like that? A mosquito?
I mean, like a mountain lion?
A mountain lion, no. Something similar?
Only on the Nat Geo channel. You know, that's about as...
How close have you been in the wild to a creature that could do you harm, besides a little...
That you know of.
Yeah.
Oh, I was about 15 feet away from an 8-foot alligator down here in Florida about 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
is that
you mean right there around where you're living?
Right on the property, right here on the property. Word of Life, yeah.
So, but you got little dogs, right? One or two.
My dog was not with me, or my dog would not be with me.
Right.
Wow. What, did you walk out to get the mail, and there's an 8-foot alligator out there?
Well,
how'd that happen?
They're 500 acres here at Word of Life, Florida,
right?
And only about, I'm just guessing, only about 100 or 125 acres of it is fully developed. So there's like 300 acres that's marshy swampland. In fact, they call part of it the swamp. Well, there's a youth camp here. And behind the youth camp, there's a, what do you call it? A paintball. There's a paintball place.
Yeah.
And they built it out in the swamp, which just makes it great. I mean, it's, you know, you go out there and you're in the middle of the swamp,
yeah,
and you're shooting the paintballs.
Right.
And the kids love it, and it's great. But there's a trail out there, and people had told me there are 200 plus alligators here on the property because it's Florida, right? And there's water, there's lakes on the property, so there's alligators down here. But I was out on my golf cart exploring, and I was on the little path that goes out to the paintball
place.
I'm going down there, minding my own business, and all of a sudden, 15 feet away, there's a rustle in the grass and the slapping of a tail, and it's an alligator.
What?
And it turned toward me and did the thing where it opens its mouth and shows its teeth. So I said 8 feet. It's probably more like 35 feet, you know, or maybe 50 feet, you know.
It was 35 feet, and then it was 50 feet, and then it was 100 feet pretty
There's
quick.
There's 100 feet. 100 feet.
Hey, and were you where you could turn around? Did you turn around?
No, I was not, because it's a narrow path. All I could do was go forward. I hit the gas, hit the gas on the golf cart, which is just, you know,
right, sure,
electric, you know, puttering on down there. Man. And I was making a video for my Advent series out there in the, you know, a swamp again,
yeah,
the background. And when I look at that Advent video I made, probably nobody else could tell, but I was sweating a little bit extra because to get back to our place, I had to go right back where the alligator was. But by the time I got back there and looked around, either he wasn't there or he had hidden himself in the mud pretty well, and I just skedaddled. I didn't stick around.
Right. I just keep the gas, get foot to the floor, and go. Yeah, and
so when are you going to release the behind-the-scenes of the Advent video series?
You know, now here is the rest of the story. Right?
Yeah. That's
so that's right. Not a mountain lion.
Yeah,
that's
that's Florida's version of a mountain lion would be an alligator.
I got a question for you there, Ray. What are acceptable losses for the Word of Life on the paintball course?
In order
to have a paintball course with the alligators, this acceptable lot, you know, if you just lose one or two kids a year, is it?
That's dark, Steve.
I'm tempted to make a joke. Yeah. I will not do that. Yeah. There has never been in the 36 years that
loss place, of life.
There's never been a bad encounter between humans and alligators.
Leave alligators alone; they'll leave you alone.
They're more scared of you than they are of you are of them. Said someone who's never faced an alligator.
Keep your distance, friends.
All right, you're listening to today's issue's first story, Steve.
All right, Scott Adams, the creator of Dilbert, who has been very public with his battle for cancer, has passed away this morning, and his wife hosted his podcast. And he had a final message. Now, this is edited. It was about an 8-minute message. I've just got about 50 seconds of it. The creator of Dilbert. This is the stuff that's pertinent to our show. He had other things to say, but this is Scott Adams, Cut 12.
Unfortunately, this isn't good news. Of course, he waited till just before the show started, but he's not with us right anymore. He has a final message that he wanted to say, so I'm going to try to read it. Many of my Christian friends have asked me to find Jesus before I go. I'm not a believer, but I have to admit the risk-reward calculation for doing so looks so attractive to me. So here I go. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and look forward to spending an eternity with him. The part about me not being a believer should be quite quickly resolved if I wake up in heaven. I won't need any more convincing than that.
He said that the other day too.
Yeah. And this he said that in his own words, but his wife reiterated that. And Ray, I don't know. We always kind of interest ourselves in, was it legitimate? Did he know enough and everything? It's kind of a irrelevant conversation once someone is gone. But I remember something who was the guy that we used to have on at noon here? The Scottish preacher.
Alistair
Begg. Had a great talk about the thief on the cross. He says, gets to heaven. He says, what do you know about, you know, repentance? What do you know about, you know, the remission of sins and all this kind of stuff? He says, I don't know anything about that, but the guy on the cross in the middle said I could come.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So.
Well, go ahead, Ray.
Well, look, the great good news of the gospel is that all you have to do is turn with your heart and believe in Jesus. We're used to, in our circles, our conservative evangelical circles, we have a way in which it's done. You come forward, you're at the youth group, you're at youth camp, you're at a, you know, you're on a retreat, and somebody comes and shows you Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 10:13. I'm doing the Romans Road thing in my head right now, you know, and then we lead you in a prayer sentence by sentence. Okay, I think that's wonderful, and that's the way a lot of people come to Christ. But the truth of the matter is there is no, quote, approved way. It's a matter of the heart. It's between the sinner and God. And the story of the woman, remember the woman with the issue of blood? What did it take to turn her life around? All she did was reach out and touch the hem of his garment, just the tiniest touch. And it seems to me, as I read the story, her faith even seems to be mixed with a bit of superstition there, if you want to call it that. If only I touch him, I'll be healed. She touched him, and she was healed. So is Scott Adams did, quote, the normal way? There is no normal way except to say this. If you come to Jesus in sincere faith, he will not turn you away. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, will be saved. And I accept it as simple truth that Scott Adams says, I am calling on the name of the Lord. He said in that statement, Steve, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Look forward to spending eternity with him. That statement alone is, quote, better than the words I said when I accepted Christ on June the 21st, 1969 at 5:15 p.m., sitting on the concrete steps outside my house in Russellville, Alabama. Having been raised in the church, having come under conviction, I prayed a simple prayer. And these are the words I blurted out. Jesus, if you are real, come into my life. Friends, that's not an approved evangelism explosion kind of prayer, right? You'll never see that kind of sentence used in an evangelism training. Jesus, if you're real, come into my life, come into my heart. He was, he did, and I've never doubted it from that day until this. So let us say this. Do I expect to see Scott Adams in heaven? I certainly do. What happened in the moment of his death is between Scott Adams and the Lord, but he did say, I accepted Christ, and I expect to spend eternity with him. If so, I expect to meet Scott Adams in person someday in heaven.
Well, Scott Adams has passed away. He was the creator of the comic strip Dilbert, which for people who remember what newspapers are, that was hugely popular for many years. I don't know, a couple decades.
Ricard maybe. Reading it in the Silicon Valley in the 90s when I worked.
Is that right?
There. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's what he was known for in the Dilbert character in the comic strips. So he's passed away today at age 68. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Steve.
The left has been out of its mind with anger over the ICE raids in various cities. They are protesting, and it's now a matter of accepted dogma on the left that you cannot kick anybody out. ICE has no jurisdiction, all this kind of stuff. I'm wondering how sincere the Democrats are about this, because there was a time not that long ago when they had the exact opposite view. I want to play you a clip from a former congressman. His name is Luis Gutierrez. He was from Illinois. He served from 93 to 2019. This is a clip from 2014. He was in charge of immigration. I mean, he wasn't in charge, but he was on the committee that deals with immigration. And this is him defending Barack Obama for being the deporter in chief. Cut 11.
Here we have the last three presidents of the United States, Bill Clinton, George Bush, and Barack Obama. Mr. Speaker, let's test our knowledge of how much or how little they have enforced the immigration laws of the United States during their term. Question one. Which president deported a population slightly larger than the population of the entire state of Nebraska? With almost 2 million deported so far, Barack Obama has deported more people than live in the entire state of Nebraska. No one has deported more people. A star, first place, goes to Barack Obama. Question two, who expanded immigration enforcement by local enforcement 100-fold? One of these presidents expanded the secure communities program for deporting immigrants who are booked into local jails from 31 jurisdictions in this nation to over 3,000. And who was that? Yes, President Barack Obama, another star.
That last is involving local law enforcement and helping ICE round up.
That's a Democrat bragging about Obama deporting people?
That is exactly.
Why is he doing that there?
Because that was, they were tough on. They were tough on immigration back then. It was a popular thing to believe back then, before Donald Trump said it was
good.
So
your point is the Democrat Party has changed?
Just a little hypocritical on this thing. I think it's mostly because Donald Trump is doing it that they don't like it, not because, well, during the Biden administration, well, they opened the border wide.
Yeah, I have a more sinister view of this, and I mentioned it before. That is,
it has changed.
I think Joe Biden, while he was president, he just said no more borders, and so he allowed anybody and everybody. I mentioned this before, but I'm going to tell you what the motivation was: to pour into our country. So much so that the mayor of New York had to say, "Stop it! We can't take anymore." These people were traveling all the way to New York from the southern border, and so Biden just let everybody in. We know that millions and millions of people. I don't know, 15 million people or so, what came into our country. We don't even know who they were. We didn't know anything about them. Biden just said, "Y'all come." They came from around the world. Remember, there was a lot of Chinese nationals, people from the Middle East. It was unbelievable. So Trump won in part because he said, "I'm shutting down the border. We have to have law and order. Our immigration laws have to be enforced." So I believe that Biden let all these people in because he wants them to become Democrat voters.
I don't doubt that at all.
That was the ultimate objective, was to make these folks, give them legal rights, give them citizenship, ultimately, and then they'll turn into lifelong Democrat voters, and that'll be the end of the Republican Party as we know it. That was the objective. Could you scratch your head going, why doesn't a president like Biden, even though he's a Democrat, care about our borders at all?
Sovereignty of our country.
Why is he just letting people flood into our country? Well, he wanted to. He, first of all, many of the Democrats, not all of them, but many of the Democrats, they don't believe in borders.
Right.
They don't believe in them. So
their party's been hijacked.
They have been. Mm-hmm. They don't believe in borders at all. So you wonder, why don't they care? Because they want it this way.
Right.
This is intentional. It's by design. It's not a mistake. Go ahead.
In addition to that, I think second to that is that they wanted just our country in chaos and division. And that's what it's called. I mean, you look at what ICE is having to do, and this is a side effect. Then you got mayors like Frey.
Yeah. So Democrats, again, I'm not all Democrats. I wanted to make it sure, but the left wing Democrats, they wanted all these people to pour into the country. And these are the same people who are teaching people to go out and confront ICE. So they don't even want these people deported. Not even the bad, wicked ones,
mm-hmm.
who are child molesters or drug traffickers or human traffickers.
Those are the ones that they're currently arresting in Minneapolis.
Yes, but the Democrat, these activists say, no, we don't even want these people deported.
Right.
We want these people to stay amongst us. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
Bizarro, but this is what's leading. So these ICE agents can't go out and do their job because the police departments in the cities aren't cooperating with them. So they're left to go out and basically physically fight these protesters.
Yep.
You're gonna have some more bad things happen because these protesters are told, go out and confront ICE agents.
That's right.
Well, the ICE agents, they're trained to, they're at a heightened sense of, amped up.
That's right. Okay. Yep.
Right. They're on alert.
They're on alert. That's a good way to put it. All right. You're listening to today's issues. But that was one of the big reasons that Trump won the presidency, is because people knew that he would shut down the border, which he has, restore law and order.
And surprisingly, go through with the process of deporting people. Because I voted for him to do that, but I was
skeptical
about how, not that
he
didn't want to, but
right.
that it could actually be done at the rate that he's doing it.
Yeah, and these same people, these same lefties, I didn't see them saying anything or crying or being appalled when the string of women mm-hmm. that were raped and killed by the illegal aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
They're not wearing their name on their shirt.
And nobody said
Lake and Riley, and
there were several other ones that was around the country. And that by the way, that kind of criminal activity goes on. It doesn't make national news all the time. But nobody was holding you didn't see them holding rallies or for those people.
Yep.
Those victims.
They're making the criminals the victims.
By number, let me just put a bow on this. By number, Donald Trump in his two terms has deported somewhere around between 1.4 and 2.4 million people.
Right.
Barack Obama, 3.1 million. He still holds the record.
Well, the other thing is that there is a self-deportation program that doesn't get a lot of attention that some people who are here illegally are taking advantage of, and that is where the United States federal government pays them to leave.
That's right.
To go back to their homeland.
They get back in line then.
They pay their travel and give them some money to go back to their homeland. All right, your next story, Steve.
All right, the Secretary of Treasury is being very deliberate about his investigation into the Somali, into the left and their practices.
What's his name?
Scott Bessent.
He's the Secretary of Treasury.
He's the Secretary of Treasury. And what the Democrats are doing, what Antifa and these people are doing, is illegal. And he is quietly going about the business of following the money, is what he says. Cut 10.
When you see these protesters, someone is financing them. There are safe houses that when you see the 300 people with the same laser that they're using to blind DHS agents in courthouses, in Portland, someone bought those lasers. And again, what we do is follow the money, just like we followed it with the mafia, just like we follow it with the drug cartels. And we will find out who's done this. I announced today that we are going to put in effect a whistleblower program. And my sense is that the rats will turn on each other. That, you know, as I believe you reported or someone talked about in the roundtable today, one of the Somali fraudsters tried to bribe a juror with $120,000. What turned out, she'd been given $200,000 to bribe the juror, and she skimmed $80,000. Like, it's like the scorpion. It's in their nature.
Honor among thieves.
Wow. Well, by the way, Obama may have deported a lot of people. He was the one who brought all the Somalis over to Minnesota.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, during a civil war in Somalia, and Donald Trump is ending the visa program that brought them in, the temporary, what's it called?
That's kind of interesting because I would like to maybe sometime do a study, a little bit of a research on that, because I think if Obama's intention was to bring those people over, drop them in the middle of a purple state and have them all be Democrats, which would swing the state to being blue on most occasions. They're not all still not. Minnesota's still purple.
Yeah.
And that is to say they have a few Republicans voted statewide.
Temporary protected status is what I was looking for.
Yeah. But to drop all those Somalis in, to bring them over here and put them in Minnesota. All right. We are out of time. We thank you for yours. By the way, Ray, appreciate it. Appreciate you being on today, brother.
Thank you, Tim.
Wesley?
I enjoyed it.
Steve?
My pleasure.
My thanks to Chris Woodward and Brent Creeley, our producer. Cole Green, our videographer, and Dr. Frank Turek, who was on with us last hour as well. We hope you have a wonderful rest of your Tuesday, and keep listening to American Family Radio, and we will be back here tomorrow.